Hello, welcome to Macro ESG, Markets, Politics, and Technology for a Sustainable Future. Today is Wednesday, the 12th of August, 2020, at 8:21 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. My name is Greg Beyer. Thank you for joining us. Today's piece is entitled, Lebanon, Finally a Buy, and the Meaning of ESG. Following the mega explosion, President Macron landed in Beirut last Friday and said, without reforms, Lebanon will continue to suffer. Please watch his two brief comments on Twitter below. Crowds greeting Macron were vehemently pleading with him openly not to give any money to the government as they are worried it will be stolen. And perhaps Macron can now be the honest broker between the stakeholders in Lebanon. But structural reform, structural change, is a tricky process because it involves creating winners and losers, mainly economic. For example, just look at the end of slavery in the United States. There were a few counties in Mississippi that were the richest in the United States during the high point of the cotton boom. And after the end of the Civil War and the abolition of slavery, they have been among the poorest ever since. From the perspective of the macro ESG investor, the issue of structural change is readily the name of the game in our line of work. Now, to affect a positive trend in ESG, environmental, social, and governance scores, or simply an evaluation of ESG, is a good thing, and it does have a positive feedback into long-term value creation and growth. But ESG factors like these by themselves are insufficient to accurately predict a change in trend of ESG actually being adopted. That is why evaluating the reflexive process of markets, politics, and technology within the consideration of a sustainable future is really the key. These factors have a much greater probability of telling you where the ESG changes are going to be, not just looking at the ESG elements themselves. And once you take it to a global level, then it's really all about global power dynamics, the competition between and amongst great powers, which really drive most of the change. Quite frankly, I believe that the entire ESG business is looking at ESG the wrong way. Of course, we all need to keep it simple and evaluate companies based on objective terms, but that doesn't really solve the issue. What will solve the ESG conundrum are when a sufficient number of stakeholders with sufficient power are moved by a crisis, then things will change. And this is why the situation is so interesting in Lebanon from a macro ESG perspective. On the Friday before the explosion, Lebanon's foreign minister resigned, saying that the country was about to become a failed state. Moreover, on the Friday after the explosion, the jury was about to release the verdict on the bombing of Hariri on Valentine's Day in 2005, which I dare say was not released, and I'm sure will fuel conspiracy theories. Then there is the question of the collapsing currency and problems at the central bank. Beirut's elites have now been ousted, but nobody is sure what is going to come. Can the Lebanese pull together and create new institutions and get it right? Beirut is a proxy for climate change. The similarities between what happened in Beirut with the explosion and what is happening with climate change and biodiversity collapse are striking. Like Beirut, the world has a bomb of climate change and biodiversity collapse risk metaphorically sitting in a warehouse by the port, too. And, literally, nobody wants to deal with it. Many complaints have been filed with governments by scientists, activists, and the public about this huge risk, and yet it is still there many years on. The world, like Beirut, is run by competing interests, but the way the game is set up, nobody is going to do anything about climate change and biodiversity loss until it is too late and the proverbial climate bomb has gone off. So ESG investors should pay attention to what happens in Beirut now as a sign of what may come. Lebanon needs to undergo large-scale structural change, and the interests who have power now will lose it when this change is effected. What I find most interesting is that power in Lebanon was divided along sectarian lines, in a power-sharing arrangement that in the end just enriched those who were able to participate in it, and everybody else was forsaken. In fact, I was in reports I've heard that they were only getting power for a couple hours a day. And having lived in Kathmandu, I know what that's like. It's really tough time. It's really difficult to live in that. Beirut may be the canary in the coal mine that can provide powerful signals about how structural reform can take place in the modern world. I hope that the Lebanese get it right. Thank you very much for joining us. I wish you a very good, healthy, and safe day.